This is chapel for April 18th, 1963. Dr. Newman is bringing our service.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. It is obvious to you by this time that Dr. Staley's remarks on Tuesday morning, I believe it was, to the effect that we would have a distinguished visitor in chapel, all went by the board. That simply could not be worked out. And so, as it is my turn this morning to lead our devotional thought, I am indebted to all of you who came to hear the distinguished minister from Raleigh, who is not here. I want to read today a rather lengthy lesson, one that to me is an exciting and dramatic episode of the history of the Old Testament people. I'm reading most of the 22nd chapter of 1 Kings. It is to me a remarkable revelation of the inmost working of the human spirit. As the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, made battle with the king of Syria. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still? The marginal reading furnishing the thought that we are silent from taking it, or as we'd say where I came from, we're fooling around and not going over there. Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hands of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in an open place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made him horns of iron. And he said, Thus saith the Lord, With thee shalt thou push the Syrians, until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth Gilead, and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hand of the king. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, What the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, Go. and prosper. For the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And Micaiah said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And the king of Israel said, Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with the bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, Hearken, O people, every one of you, mark well what I've said. And in some respects, the 29th verse of the 22nd chapter of 1 Kings is one of the saddest sentences that I've ever read. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle. I want to be one of the boys today. But put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, Fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, Surely it is the king of Israel, and they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out, Please excuse me, I'm just a visitor. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, Turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot against the Syrians, and he died at even. And the blood ran out of the wounds into the midst of the chariot, and there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, Every man to his city, every man to his own country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria, and one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. I cannot refrain from these few remarks. Here was a man who had an uncanny insight into what he ought to do that day, notwithstanding a weakness for which he was notorious as a person. This was Ahab, you know, who was a pouter, who was a crybaby, if you please, who poutingly wished for the vineyard that his wicked wife did not hesitate to slay an owner in order to secure for him. He was that sort of fellow. But when he got up that morning and looked over the situation, he saw clearly exactly what he ought to do on that occasion. He saw this in spite of the discouragement of this wicked companion with whom he was associated. A great discouragement to anyone in arriving at moral judgments that are discerning and right. Jezebel was her name, and Jezebel probably is the epitome of wickedness in our vocabulary from that day until this. Did you ever know anyone, however much given to giving children Bible names, name their daughter Jezebel? I've known of a good many mules named Jezebel, but I never heard of a woman named Jezebel since Jezebel, the wife of the king of Israel. And she was surely a great discouragement to a man in his moral insights, his judgments, the legitimate conclusions at which he would arrive after looking over the duties that lay out before him. But he saw, nonetheless, he saw what he ought to do about Ramoth-Gilead that day in spite of the utter confusion that 400 so-called prophets could bring to bear on his life at that point. It's a bit awkward to speak in this presence of such things, but preachers do sometimes become purely popular, you know. Every one of these 400 men told Ahab that day exactly what Ahab wanted to hear. And when they had said with a chorus, all with one mouth, as it says here in the story, sure, go on up to Ramoth-Gilead. Everything's going to be all right. The Lord's on your side. Ahab knew better. And Jehoshaphat thought a little better of it. Let's inquire of one other prophet who may be around. And I want you to note that Ahab was not confused at all by the sarcastic mumbling of Micaiah when he came into him and echoed what he had heard 400 times from that many prophets already that morning. Micaiah saying, sure, it's all right. Why do you ask anyhow? Anyone would know that. You heard the account. How often, Micaiah, shall I adjure thee to tell me nothing but the truth? And then Micaiah told him, you'd better not go to Ramoth-Gilead today. You know that. If you do, Ichabod is written over your name. I don't think this was just a hunch. I think this was something as deep as life itself in the heart of a man, in terms of which, in a very responsible fashion, he arrived at what he ought to do. During the days of the Second World War, some of you will recall, sugar and other items were sharply rationed. And it was told in a newspaper account of a woman who had 50 or 75 pounds of that very precious sugar hidden in her pantry. And she saw a uniformed man, quite official looking, coming down the street, knocked on the next door house of her neighbor, and her neighbor answered the door. But while she was doing so, this woman ran to the pantry and took the 75 pounds of sugar and poured it down the sink and then hid in that pantry. And when this officious looking fella knocked on her door, she didn't answer the door. And then he went on next door and on down the street. After a reasonable time, as the newspaper account had it, she came out of her hiding and ventured over to ask of her neighbor, who was that fella that knocked on your door? To which her neighbor replied, he was an officer of the Humane Society checking up on the dogs in the neighborhood. No one had said anything to her about hoarding sugar, but she had a pretty good idea about sugar. You see, it wasn't a question of Ahab knowing what he ought to do that day. The sad lament of it is, he'd rather have Ramoth-Gilead than do right. And he made his choice accordingly. And I repeat, the consequence is always the same. he went up to Ramoth Gilead that day against every judgment of his deepest self. Let us pray. We are wonderfully and fearfully made, O God, and we've been refashioned according to that image which thou hast placed within us, and we are stimulated and encouraged by every circumstance to exercise that responsible self that we are. By thy grace and facing up to every alternative that life presents to us day by day, give us the inspiration and the help to choose as we ought to choose our way through it all. In the Master's name we pray.